Hi, I'm David Subkoyak.
I'm Annie Asher.
And we are the hosts of a brand new podcast called Passive Aggression.
Passive Aggression is an entertainment lifestyle podcast that covers anything and everything.
We have different episode types discussing big moments, entertainment, our personal favorites, and specific topics.
We take deep dives into general topics like how to live the C'est La Vie lifestyle and why is reality TV great.
And we love discussing movies like Legally Blonde and shows like Glee.
Each episode culminates with our Flames and Chains, where we talk about the best and worst parts of our weeks.
Annie and I are best friends, pop culture phenoms, and teenagers who love to chit-chat.
If you are looking for a way to spice up your day by learning something new,
or by hearing some candid opinions,
be sure to listen to Passive Aggression on all platforms.
You can follow us on Instagram at Passive Aggression Pod for behind the scenes, giveaways, updates, and so much more.
Our episodes are released every Tuesday. See you there.
Welcome to episode 67 of the Watching It podcast. On today's episode, zombie genre is undead, Robert has an Oscar nominee, Donnell knows Kung Fu, and Colin Robinson is still the best vampire. All that plus Stargirl, What We Do in the Shadows, The Lower Decks, and What If. I'm your host, Donnell, and with me, as always, is Robert. Boom, Robert.
You got
Boom.
Through it.
We
you
made
got
it into it. The freaking episode.
That was take 87.
Oh,
never will I suggest wrong. That he announce so many things again.
I don't know what was wrong. It just couldn't get into this episode.
A lot to talk about in this episode, and we don't want it to be 4 hours long, so let's get right into
it. Let's roll. Robert, let's just start with you. What you been watching, my friend?
Well, I watched a whole lot of movies this week.
Right.
I had developed a large backlog of things that I had, movies I had acquired, and decided to go through a lot of them. I think it's about 25 movies that I watched. Now, I didn't finish all of them. Some of them I started, got about 30 minutes or an hour in. It was like, this is just not good. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of low level indie films that just weren't doing it for me.
Right.
But there are a few that I would like to bring up as recommendations.
Okay.
That I think are interesting. The first one is the 2020 movie Underwater with Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
This is about they are in the Mariana Trench. So they're like 6 miles underwater in this massive oil drilling operation. And the place starts to explode and implode on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to save themselves. And there is some odd monster fish things that are kind of attacking them while they're trying to save themselves. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it was really good. And I think it's worth checking out. I watched the 2010 movie Wild Target.
Okay.
This has Emily Blunt, Rupert Gint, who you might know as, I knew his name a second ago, the redheaded kid from Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
The one who didn't have the
Ron
best career. Ron Weasley, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible last name.
So is Rupert Gint.
Yeah.
That's a bad
just bad and just terrible.
Martin Freeman and Bill Nighy. Bill Nighy, you may recognize as Davy Jones from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He plays the squid face guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic actor. I love everything that he's in, which is the reason that I looked up the movie. It's your standard. There's nothing remarkable about it. I think it's just something you could throw on the background. It's basically a Sunday movie of he's an assassin and he's hired to go and kill a girl. He falls in love with her, decides not to kill her. Got to protect her from the other assassins that are coming to get her.
Right.
Kind of
right.
stuff. You know, very British, you know, fine movie. Wild Target. Probably the best one that I saw was Tides. I don't know if you've heard of this movie.
No.
It is the humans had to flee Earth because of some sort of apocalypse, like climate most likely is what it was. And this is a team that is coming back to check and see if the Earth is habitable again, and finds a civilization that's living there, but like the whole world is covered in water.
Yeah.
Some of the time there's like huge tides that are rolling in and out. Mm. So like sometimes, you know, like the tide goes out and everybody goes scurrying, trying to like pick up clams and stuff that are on the ground and whatnot. And like, you know, put a bunch of food and then they climb up to a higher place.
Yeah.
Waiting for it to come. You know, and no real huge actors of note or anything. It's just a good sci-fi story. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of maybe one that would have gone under the radar. I checked out the 1961 movie Guns of the Navarone. Have you ever seen The Bridge Over River Kwai?
Yes.
It's basically just like that. Okay. That genre, the 1960s Technicolor, you know, war movie, you know, like the people, actors were in it, actually probably fought in these battles, you know, kind of stuff. Very, very good movie. Classic movie. Worth checking out if you like old 1960s war movies.
Okay.
You know, just really good. I rewatched the movie Mr. Right.
Okay.
Which is, I think that's underrated. And I think it deserves a sequel. I think it's a fine movie.
I think it's a fine movie. I don't know if it deserves a sequel. I don't.
Fair enough.
I mean, you know,
I liked it. Yeah, I've seen it before, and me rewatching, I was like, I like this movie. This is a fun movie.
It's fun. It's a good movie. It's not everything. Just because it's a good movie, not everything deserves a sequel. I feel a sequel might spoil what was good of the first movie. If we, you know,
possibly
that could be, you know.
Yep. Two more things.
Okay.
I've been rewatching iZombie.
Okay.
Which is just a fantastic show to binge.
Yeah.
It has the perfect blend of overarching story and monster of the week, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the main actress, I can't remember her name, if she won an Emmy, but she certainly deserved one, because very much just like every episode, she's playing a different role.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you've seen the show, but for anybody who hasn't, it takes place in Seattle. A doctor gets scratched by a zombie, becomes a zombie, starts working at a morgue so she can get brains. And kind of the crux of it is that when you eat the brains, you get memories from, you basically take on the characteristics of the person that had it. So if like they were into skydiving, you really want to go skydiving, and you can, you know, the rush of what it feels like to go skydiving and stuff like that. And she works for the police department, you know, the supernatural crime drama, course. You know, police procedural, which I love those. And last but certainly not least, I watched Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
Yeah, which is another Emily Blunt movie.
How
and The Rock.
Is it?
You know, it deserves an Oscar nomination for Best Picture.
Really?
It does. It does. Really? So I think I talked about this in our Oscar review last year. I guess earlier this year, and maybe other times on the podcast. But when I watch movies, what I think is in an Oscar nomination is when they do something special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so when I saw Birdman, I was like, that's going to win.
Yeah.
Because they did something, this long shot, really risky thing. It's why I thought The Father was going to win. Because mm-hmm. it changed, there's just a lot of movies, like when you really take a risk and you change the way they make movies, you create a new way to do it.
Yeah.
That, you know, like there's something special about it.
Cruise.
Yes. But not for the reason you might think.
Okay.
It is the most Disney movie ever to be made. That is what's so special about it.
I'm going to have to see.
Because there is a Disney movie formula, like live action formula, that Rube Goldberg situation, you know, like just everything you think of when you think of a live action Disney movie, this did absolutely perfectly. It is a super great movie.
Yeah.
If you like live action Disney movies, it is the best one ever made.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it is just
that is
it. It yeah, that fun is for the whole family. Right, perfection.
Okay.
I'm not saying whether it's a great movie or a great story or anything, but whatever that, all those puzzle pieces put in just the right order, and that's why I think it deserves a nomination. Just because somebody did that, it's a thing that exists. Like such mathematical perfection of a Disney live action movie of which has never existed before.
Right.
Just awesome.
Yeah.
And it's not terrible.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's it.
That's Robert.
It was a lot. It was a lot this week.
I watched one movie this week, but before I get to that movie, got two smaller things. Is I did watch the Matrix 4 trilogy.
The whole trilogy.
I mean, sorry, the Matrix 4.
I'm like, the Matrix trailer, 4 trilogy.
The Matrix 4 trailer.
It's going to be Matrix 4.1 and 4.2.
Yeah, yeah, I had a lot. I have a lot of reservations towards this movie. One is I feel like the Matrix, while the trilogy isn't perfect, and a lot of people have issues, including me with Revelations and all that sort of stuff, it did its complete story arc. It went through everything. And to suddenly be like, all this time later, be like, we need a fourth. I had that, plus the siblings, I'll call them now, or I guess sisters.
Yeah, they are sisters.
They worked together on all of them. And
this is just Lana, right?
Yeah, one of them very clearly said, like, no, it's done. And then the other one's like, no, I'm making a fourth. And so my thing is, it's like, it seemed very weird where one of them, like, if they create it together. And so for one of them to be like, no, the story's done, we're done. And the other one to be like, no, there needs to be more. I just feel like there's just too many things that could be issues.
That's going
to
be an awkward Christmas.
Yeah. But I watched the trailer. The trailer is definitely interesting. It almost seems like two things. One is, it seems like it's going to be maybe, and this is just what I got from the trailer, I could be completely wrong, completely off, but might be kind of a love story. Kind of weirdly.
Yeah. But I mean, the original movies were love stories.
Yeah, but I guess it almost seems more like in a weird way.
What I got from the trailer is that they were purposely being deceptive. They're trying, seems like they're somewhat trying to capture that magic of the first movie where it's like, you're not going to know what's going on. Does he know he's Neo? Does he not know he's Neo?
The thing they showed in the movie is that he's taking the is it the red or the blue pill? I can't remember which one keeps you in the Matrix, but he's like, he takes it like multiple times in the movie, so it's almost like he knows he's not.
Oh, he's like trying to stay in.
Yeah, but he's trying to stay in. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I'm still skeptical. But I mean, one is I was always going to see it. It's not like I wasn't going to see it. And two is I will say the trailer did pique my interest a little bit more than I
mean. Yeah, I'm absolutely going to see it. I am in no way excited about it.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody who's excited for Matrix 4.
Yeah,
but everybody's going to go see it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's Keanu Reeves, and he's on this, you know, his current high he's riding. He's had a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up, and I could wait, but I just wanted to bring it up here now, just to a little bit of discussion before we actually get to this show, since it's usually the last one we cover, is they had an interview with Joel McHale, who plays Starman.
Joel McHale?
Isn't it Joel McHale?
Joel. Yeah. You said Joe.
I said Joel.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know. We'll play back that.
Hey, like five episodes ago, I was like, Joel McHale?
But anyways, I had an interview with him, and he was saying that he would absolutely love to play Starman again. And if they ever need him, he'd be there. And the thing that's kind of weird about that is, he could have already filmed his other parts as Starman for this season. But all we've seen of him this season has been very
open-ended. He's kind of been disappeared.
Yeah. Open-ended, and we don't... So, if that's the only time we see him, like, the way he sounds, like, he's not sure if he's playing that character anymore. Like, he says he loves playing it and wants to, but, he's, like, it sounds like he's not certain if he is or not. And so, that's the thing is, from this interview, it's either A, one is it could be we're not going to see him till season 3.
Yeah.
Or it could be that they were going to see him later this season, but that's it. Like, it might not be any more than that. But I just thought it was kind of interesting because it just sounded like you're just like, all we've seen him this season and left it very open in it where there obviously has to be more because there's no reason to be like, here's this guy who may or may not be Starman.
Yeah, and he's hunting for
where Pat is, and then we never talk about him.
Yeah, that would be such the weirdest unanswered question if they don't touch on that ever again.
But I just thought it was interesting because I just was like, okay.
Yeah, that is weird.
But the movie I did see this week, Robert, was Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
I haven't seen it yet. Yes. Is it good?
It is good.
It is good.
It is a solid Marvel movie. Like, it is, if you're...
So 10 being Ragnarok.
Yeah.
What, you know, Ragnarok and this most latest episode of What If.
Yeah. I'd say it's about a 6 or a 7. Like, okay. It's not bad. It's funny. It has some good parts. I really think they're overhyping it. And I honestly think that's a disservice to it because you're making people.
It felt extremely overhyped.
Yeah, and so you're going into it expecting, you know, depending on which side of the spectrum you are, you're expecting a Thor Ragnarok or an Endgame or a Black Panther. You're expecting something of that caliber. You're not going to get that. You're just not. But one of the things you asked me is it worth seeing it in theaters?
And yeah. Well, not necessarily is it worth seeing in theaters, but is it a must see in theaters? Yeah. You know, there's just some movies you gotta see in theaters.
It's very hard for me to answer that question. The reason why is I saw it in, and this was my first and most likely last time ever seeing a movie in a 4D movie experience.
Oh, Donnell! No.
Oh, I didn't want to. My friend's birthday, and he bought the tickets. And it wasn't until we were sitting down, and he was like, "Make sure to turn on your water." And I was like, "What?" I was like, they're going to give me a cup of water. So for anyone who doesn't know, 4D movie experience is where you get, obviously, if there's water on the screen, you get sprayed with water. There's smells that waft into the theater, and then the seats are all moving and like have moving parts. So when there's a car crash, like you're in the car crash. It's a terrible, I don't know why anybody would want to see a movie in 4D. Because my thing is, like, I want to see the story and stuff. It was very hard to paint. Like, I did still know the story. I did enjoy the movie. But, like, it was not enjoyable. You're feeling like you're getting kicked in the back at points. The chairs are shifting all over the place. And I'm just like, what? Like, so it's the same technology they use for things like the rides at, I think Space Mountain is one where it's not an actual, or maybe Space Mountain is a roller coaster. I know that Disney has a ride where it's not an actual roller coaster. You just go in a room and it all moves around. And in that experience, that makes sense. It's max 5 minutes and it's a high intense, you know.
But not a two and a half hour movie.
2.5 hours to be getting kicked in the back and sprayed with water. It was terrible. I was just
that sounds terrible.
Like, and the thing is, I know is we pay way more for these tickets than we would for 3D, than we would for standard, for any of that. And I was just like, no. I was like, I did not. So maybe I'm just I don't understand it. But for me, I was just like, that was a horrible movie experience.
You know what I think 4D would be good for? Nature documentaries.
Yeah.
You know, like if they're you're doing, it's like going all over the world and it's like, oh, here's a blue whale. And all of a sudden it throws up, you know, a bunch of water into the air and you get lightly misted.
Yeah.
Or like there's like a herd of buffalo or something that are running, you know, like charging across the plains and your chair
that
rumbles.
That would be kind of nice.
You know, or maybe they like show like a big pile of elephant shit and you can kind of smell it.
Yeah, maybe
a little,
not
you
that
know, with a wafting.
We'll leave that part out. So one other thing also that made it not that enjoyable is I don't know like if it was just something was wrong, but so there are a lot of scenes where like you're flying through the air. And when they do that, they want the wind to be blowing on you.
Oh, God.
Well, no, that was actually one of the best parts because the problem was when the wind wasn't blowing, it was muggy and stuffy in the room. So you were.
Yeah, because there's all this fucking water going in, making this a humid environment.
You were waiting for the scene where like you fell out of an airplane. Like, oh, thank God, we're falling out of an airplane.
You're like, and the wind's so refreshing.
You're like, oh, that feels good. So.
Yeah, I don't know who thought this was
Shang-Chi,
a good idea.
Shang-Chi, good movie. I liked it. There are some pretty big, kind of like bombastic fight scenes that I would almost say might be must-see theater. But like I said, my view of theater viewing of it is very soured because
well, it's got a lot of sorcery in it, right? From what I saw from the trailer, looked like.
Yes and no.
Okay.
It is definitely a martial arts movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a lot of martial arts. There is some mysticism and magic. Great. Not going to spoil anything, but there's a great... I mean, basically, this movie, like, Black Widow is the first movie made in Phase 4, but it's still Phase 3 of Marvel. This movie clearly sets up... It is the start of Phase 4.
Okay.
And it has a good Easter egg at the end. We get to see
characters. So it's very much... So like, Black Panther was very much off doing its own thing.
Yeah.
Is this interconnected with everything, Shang-Chi?
It is at the end.
At the
like
end.
While you're watching the movie, you're like, "How's this gonna tie?" Well, yes and no. Even during the movie,
because Wong's there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Wong's not there throughout the whole thing, but Wong shows up enough where you're like, "Okay." And Wong, like, I gotta say, well, I know Doctor Strange is about Doctor Strange. Like, I watched what is it? What did I watch recently? It was the Doctor Strange What If. And there was Wong. And then just seeing him in the Spider-Man trailer and seeing him in this movie, like, That is a fantastic character for a side.
He's
character
fun. He's a great
minor character.
He's like, a great both dramatic character and comic relief.
Yeah, like I really like Wong in the MCU, and it's a fantastic character. I'm glad they're using him more than just like one time in Doctor Strange. Like I'm glad he's been showing up in a bunch of other stuff. It's been really fun around, and he's right in this movie, and he actually has some funny, really funny parts.
Yeah.
Oh, and
so I'm guessing that's where he was going in the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer.
Maybe. I don't know. I think this movie might happen before Spider-Man.
Gotcha.
But
not concurrently.
Yeah. It could. It could maybe be concurrently. We could see. Interestingly enough. Oh, yeah. I was going to say my one complaint is also a positive. So it has Awkwafina in it.
Okay.
See. Is really good. She's really fun.
Oh, I was hoping so because I've seen her do some stuff. I'm a big fan of Awkwafina, and she's a rapper from YouTube. Yeah. For those that don't know, she's been in a couple of things. Probably most notably, she was the voice of the dragon in that Pixar movie, or there's some kind of like spirit dragon.
Movie that's a Disney.
That came out, and she does the voice. But you know, she's got a TV show that's not great. She was in Ocean's 8, which was just a trash bag of shit. Yeah. And cool. I'm glad she's doing well.
That's the thing. So she's good in it, but she's also my biggest complaint. But not her fault. It's just it makes no sense. Is you know, she's Shang-Chi's best friend.
Okay.
And he needs to go on a globetrotting adventure to save the world. She has no skill. She has no power. She is just a liability. And the fact that she goes along, like, multiple times, she becomes a liability. I'm just like there's a part where it's like, no, you just leave her home. There's no reason for her to be there. She does in the end help. But for the most of the movie, it's just like, no, she's just a huge, like, hey, if you want to stop me or, you know, make me have to have a serious thought of what to do here. Go after this girl who has absolutely no skills, who I brought with me for no reason.
Yeah, that's like the Captain America replacement sidekick friend that has like no powers, no shield, and he ends up getting killed.
And so that like it's my only gripe because it's just to me it's like it's bad writing to be like, yeah, and she came along. It's like, no, you would not bring her along.
Yeah.
You're going off to fight assassins and ninjas and all that stuff. You're not gonna be like, hey, you wanna tag along? You know, but like I said, her character, or not even her character, just the situation her character is in is one of the negative points of the movie, but Awkwafina is one of the positive points of the
movie.
She plays she plays her role very well. It's very funny.
Excellent.
And and very believable as her character. Because I mean honestly, she's just herself.
Gotcha. So it's a must see. It sounds like it might have been like a 7 or a 7.5 if you hadn't had shit blowing in your face the whole time. I don't know. I'm still just not there going back to the movie theater unless it's something that's going to be...
Yeah.
You got it. Like, Dune is probably what's going to send me back to the theater. Like, yeah.
So the other thing I want to say, actually, because this is one thing I was thinking about, is so going to Shang-Chi, I was very much like, I don't know if it's going to be good and seeing that before. And that's also how I feel about Eternals. Or... More so.
I am not excited
but
about Eternals
at all. But here's the thing:
is
after seeing Shang-Chi, I'm not excited about Eternals, but I'm optimistic because the thing is, other than a couple, and even the ones that those are in the earlier days of the MCU, I can't think of the MCU letting me down. Like even like it, I went into Shang-Chi.
Iron Man 3.
Okay, yeah, no, you mean Tony? As I always say, no, it's Tony Stark 1. It's not an Iron Man movie, but yeah, you are correct. Iron Man 3.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Thor 1.
I'm not a big fan of Thor 2, but that's not
true. You know, I like right. The Dark Elf, the Dark World.
All right. I like
get some good Loki in
that. That's what I'm about to say. Is you get some good Loki in Thor 2, which I did really like. Overall Marvel's record is pretty good.
Yeah.
And they've pulled off surprises like Shang-Chi, and then also like Guardians of the Galaxy. So while I'm not like, oh man,
Guardians 2 was terrible.
I can't wait for Eternals. I'm also like, you know what? It's the MCU. They might.
Yeah.
They might have something. And it's
going to make $1 billion and I'm going to be some of that.
They had a trailer for it. And this trailer, the trailer that they show in the movie theater is better than the trailer that they have online.
Okay.
And it definitely had more in it where I was like, I could see this turn out all right.
All right. All right.
It's not going to be upper echelon. It's not going to be up there with the Ragnaroks. Or if it is, that would be a huge turn.
Yeah.
But I
they could have see like the craziest high priced like cast in the Eternals.
Yeah.
Compared to all the other movies.
Like, other than Endgame, of course.
You know, I mean, everybody thinks about Robert Downey Jr. now, but like when he was in Iron Man, everyone was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but this one has like Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek and like it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be it'll be interesting. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But all right, let's get into our shows after this commercial break.
Hello, I'm Kai Bobby, co-host of the Rotten Treasure podcast, where I talk with my friend Jim O'Donnell and a special guest about movie franchises that arguably went on a little longer than they should have. Hey, Jim, what movies do we review?
Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House,
Home Alone, Holiday Heist. We review more than just Home Alone movies.
Tremors 2, Aftershocks.
Do we have any guests? Do we have guests, Jim?
Scott Campbell, Robert and Donnell from Watching It, Sarah Carter.
Okay, how do people find us on the internet, Jim?
Follow us at Rotten_Treasure on Instagram, at Rotten Treasure on Twitter, Rotten Treasure on Facebook.
Okay, all right. You know what? That's enough of your list. So, folks, if you still want to find us, you can listen to us on your preferred podcast app, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Podbean.com, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, not SoundCloud.
Hi, this is Zach.
And this is Zoe, and we're from the Backlit
Cinema podcast
with Zach and Zoe. And basically, what we do here is that we're a father and son team. We like to talk about movies that I love when I was growing up, and then I get Zach's impressions on these great movies. See, he's never seen these movies. These movies came out before he was born. So what do you think about the movie that we've seen so far?
They've been good so far. Yeah. Except for one.
So I'm batting like 999 something. We looked at movies like...
I believe it's like The Last Dragon is one of them.
Yeah, we looked at The Last Dragon. The Last Dragon was a great episode. Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Sylvester Stallone movies. You know, all those great action mindless flicks from the early 90s. We also looked at some hard drama like Juice. You remember Juice?
Yeah, Juice. Demolition Man.
Oh, we did A Soldier Story.
Yeah, Soldier Story, Running Scared.
So we're doing this movies, we're talking about them, and we're having a great time, and we think that you'll have a great time too. So join us whenever you get the chance. So wherever you listen to podcasts, check out the Backlit Cinema podcast with Zach and Zoe.
And we are back. And it is time to talk a little bit about Lower Decks.
Yes. So, you know what usually happens when there's no cold open on a show? It means it's going to be something really crazy and badass and push the story forward. You're like, shit's going to go down.
Yeah.
Shit did not go down this episode.
No. It was a very interesting episode. I felt like there was kind of, we got back to a norm because we had Mariner and Boimler and Tandy and Rutherford, which we hadn't, for most of the season, there really hadn't been that. What was most of first season, there really hadn't been that dynamic. Tindy was doing a lot of stuff off on her own, and Rutherford was doing some stuff on his own.
Yeah.
And they did some other team-ups with Boimler and Rutherford and that sort of stuff. So I felt like we kind of got back to that. I just got to say, those duplers, or I guess it was just one dude.
Before, to spoil,
at the end, they revealed that they could merge back together.
Yeah, like, did they not know that?
I
want to know more about these guys. Yeah. Because I'm like, what's going on in their planet?
That's the worst race in the world.
Yeah, like, why would you, they would be a containment hazard.
Yeah.
Like, you would just put them in a box where it's a transport, like, so that way, like reinforced with force fields and everything. Yeah, like, you would tow a ship behind you with them in it.
And like, my big thing is, like, there was, like, no way to stop them from duplicating. Because they're just like, okay, everybody just ignore them. Like, oh, they're giving us a silent treatment. And they kept duplicating. And then it's like, okay, do this. And it was like, those things are out of control.
Yeah. a pandemic, if it as it were.
Yeah.
Okay, so why do you have cars on a space station? What's going on there? That was like, yeah, we did a car chase scene. Let's put cars and police on a space station.
I was just like, yeah, that seems a little much. And then also like the whole thing of like Mariner gets to the space station and just like everything. It's just like, oh, I used to live here. And oh, I know all this stuff. And I'm just like, how? My question is, how old is Mariner? Because she has done way too much. I think
there's time travel stuff, or she got some kind of de-aging virus or something. I mean, we need... I really can't wait for them to get to, like, backstory on that. You know, like, it would be... Yeah, it'd be really nice to get that. We did get, I think, some growth between, you know, Mariner and Boimler. You know, a little bit pushing towards their relationship a little bit more.
The thing that frustrated me was that Boimler apologized. And I was just like, why are you apologizing for you just Mariner expects everyone to be like her and to stick around. It's like, no, he had opportunity to move up into another ship to get in to further his career. And he took it. And then he apologizes for doing that.
Yeah, he shouldn't have had to apologize. She should have understood.
Yeah. I was just like, that annoyed me. But they did, like I said, they did hash it out afterwards. One thing I really liked that they had in there was they had, I forget at what point, I think it was... I only wrote down this phrase, so I can't remember. But was they said at one point, Commander Data.
Yeah.
Meaning Data got his own ship at some point.
Well, Commander? He was already... I guess he was a lieutenant, and then he became a commander. But you can be a commander on the Enterprise.
Yeah, I guess.
Because Deanna Troi, she becomes a commander throughout the show.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an episode where she's got to learn how to send somebody to their death.
Android got its own ship, but never mind. That's nothing then. during the car chase scene, though, did you see the beeping chair reference?
Yeah, they're overplaying that joke. They show up a lot. The beeping chair guys show up a lot in the show. I feel like they're like I said last time. They're really pacing out the stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know, like, the really hardcore Trekkies, how they felt about Mariner and Boimler putting them on the same level of Kirk and Spock.
Yeah.
That's a risk.
It's how you want to look at it, is like putting them as, I mean, what, there was a period of time though. So that's one that definitely actually is weird. Cause if I say there was a period of time where Kirk and Spock were nobodies. But
yeah,
that was never when they were together. By the time they were together, they were already forging their story. So them being together at a bar, they would already be some, no matter where in their career, if they're together as a team and actually friends where they're hanging out because they didn't like each other in the beginning stuff, and friends hanging out, I'd be like, no, they're already somebody. Where Boimler and Mariner are definitely not, or at least Boimler's not. Mariner is to be determined. Also, the other thing is, one thing that actually struck me is, I know why for the show, because they wanted to bring Boimler back to the ship so he could hang out with Mariner, but Boimler gets himself cloned. Why wouldn't they send the clone away when, like, Boimler was the one who got promoted? He used to be able to stay in his position.
Well, they're both promoted, but don't you remember in that episode, one decides to stay back and the other one decides to go.
Yeah. I think Boimler does the whole thing where he's like, oh, we'll both say you go and then I'll take it. And I think that was what happened, is that he was expecting the clone not to accept, or you stay. And I think the clone was like, all right, thanks. And I think that's right. Cause I was like, why would they pick the clone? But I forgot that. But I feel
like there should be some rule about being able to build a model ship that has working warp core.
Hey,
and phasers.
I just love how it was so dramatic with that warp core. Like, he's like, we gotta explode the warp core. Then he pulls it out and he does the warp and he throws it and just this little explosion that opens up the hatch. It's just like
there was one other thing I wanted to bring up, but now I can't remember it. The audience doesn't get that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. They're just missing out.
This was just an episode.
Yeah,
there wasn't anything super important about it, honestly.
Yeah, It had a couple funny parts, but yeah, it was nothing special.
And I still, I'm looking it up furiously on my phone. I still can't figure out the name of the voice actor for the Dupler, and it's killing me. It is killing me. If anybody knows, write in, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com, because I'm looking on the Wikipedia and on IMDb and on the Reddit, and I cannot figure out the name of that actor, and I know it's just there.
All right, well, that was Lower Decks. Let us get on to What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. It's a fine episode.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the best. Certainly, this is going to be on the lower, you know, edge of the episodes for this season, I think. You know, Colin Robinson, they're really leaning into that.
Yeah.
You know, going to tell his story, which I'm going to love every bit of it. Yeah,
that seems to be like one of the overarching storylines that's already been developed is that Colin... I'm really also like, yeah, what is that going to pan out into? Because, I mean, we're doing it. Like, there's a part of me, but, I mean, this episode kind of showed that it's not, because he did survive some stuff that would kill a human being. but there was a part of me that feels like maybe there's no such thing as an energy vampire, and he just thinks he's a vampire and he bores everybody.
Yeah, but he's old. He's like 100 years old or something. So you know what? So in when they show him on screen, they're like, there's like Colin Robinson, energy vampire. I'm like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
You no longer, I know that it's supposed to be like the you know, documentary, mockumentary style, but like, you don't have to keep telling us the names of everybody and what they are. Like, we're far enough in that we know these characters.
So I liked at the beginning, we have, crap, I know I have his name written down.
Nandor
going off. And I love when Laszlo is saying what he thinks Nandor is doing. He's like, he's going to the penny porno, and stuff like, that's a place where men get together and pay to sit next to each other and jack off. And it's like, why'd you be ashamed of that? I went there today. And I stopped right there. I was like, where did you find a penny porno in today's, like, I know those exist at one point, but where did you find one?
Goddamn hipster millennials.
I just want to know, where is there a penny porno?
I bet that would, that seems like 10 years ago, that would have been all the rage. Like, if somebody had come up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to give a kudos to whoever the stuntman was that set himself on fire. Because it obviously wasn't the actor that played Colin Robinson. Yeah, you know, they obscured his face so that way you couldn't tell. But boy, that had to be rough.
Yeah.
Like, he was on fire for a long time.
I just love that. Like, I'm on fire. Like, no, I'm fine. And so one thing I wrote down is, for how much they say they despise each other or whatever, like, Colin and Laszlo get along fairly well. Yeah. They actually have some interest in the same thing, for different reasons, but they both like cars and road trips.
I want the Colin Robinson Nadia adventure. Because she just would not.
No, that would be terrible. She would
just be like,
I was just like, when Colin Robinson was like, I love road trips, and then he was saying what he does, I'm like, yeah, but because I just imagine that if you're on a road trip with someone, like if I'm on a road trip with Colin, first rest stop, I'm leaving him. If he's just playing that on loop and stuffing my secret. Like, I was like, you never fit. You're getting left everywhere. Every road trip you go, you only make it to the first rest stop before the person's like, hey, why don't you go to the bathroom? And I just like, no one's going on a road trip with Colin. Like,
well, I don't really understand how the whole energy vampire thing works. They kind of talked about it in the previous episode where it's like he's supposed to bore them.
Yeah, it basically something. To suck their life force out.
Yeah, so like if I wanted to do that on a road trip, I would just like break the radio and then just not talk.
Yeah.
At all. Just
I want to know what Nandor thought Guillermo thought the ring was. Because Guillermo goes,
yeah,
is that what I think it is? And he's like, no, you perv. And he's like, it's an engagement ring. And then obviously that's what Guillermo thought it was.
I'm assuming he thought it was a cock ring for a very, a very tiny man, you know?
No, not a tiny man, a bat dick.
Oh, that's right, because the bats have the little penises. That's right.
Which actually, that's another question I had, is he says that they had sex when she was in wolf, and but then he's like, well, I was in bat form, and he's like, and also we mainly only did hand stuff. I'm like, but neither wolves nor bats have hands, so how did you do hands?
Well, bats kind of have their little wing hands.
That sounds terrible. Like, that sounds terrible. I don't know what type of sex you're into, but those little bat clawy fingers sounds like a bad time right there.
Yeah, I want to know, like, is she just a werewolf, or is she just a vampire now, or is she a werewolf, I mean, she vampire?
She looks like a werewolf vampire when she was flying. I mean, she was bigger than other bats.
Yeah,
she was fumbling around, which, I mean, I guess you could say it's just because she's a new bat. But yeah, I think she's a werewolf vampire now.
I was not expecting them to play kickball.
No.
That was unexpected.
No. It was good, though. I listened to it a couple times, and I think I heard it right, is when, what's the female vampire's name? I certainly can't remember.
Nadia.
Nadia is coming to talk to Nandor about the font, and she's like, I like Hervetica because it's the name of the name of a prostitute for donkeys. And I was like, a prostitute for donkeys? I was like, you have in my town.
You've never
town,
seen a donkey show, Donnell?
I mean, I've heard of them, but yes.
Yeah, this was a fine episode.
It was fun. You know. I like it. I really love when Nandor and Colin are fixing up the car, and like first he backs over Colin, and I just love how he hits Colin, and he's like, "Did I get you?" I'm like, "How?" He's right in front of you, smashed. I'm just like,
They take the whole car apart, and he's just like, "Okay, well, where's that piece go?" He's like, "I think that's beyond the
that." I love where he's like putting them in two piles, and one of the piles like stuff that we need and stuff we don't. Like, well, it was all in the car to begin with. And then I just love how when Colin's just like, I don't at this point. I don't think it matters. Like, he knows, like, no, this car's doomed. But they did get it running, surprisingly.
I like their kind of administrative assistant that's like I have to call the insurance people now. You couldn't open the door instead of creating a big hole.
Which, when she opens that door, though, I was like, that door is not in the same room the car was.
Yeah.
I was looking at it, and I was like, nah. Oh, that's another thing. Like I said, I really liked Colin and Nandor hanging out, because when they were working on the car, and he's like, what's this piece? And Colin's like, I don't know, you called it like a wisdom cracker. And he's like, the man knows his cars.
Well, hey, look, if that was a British car like 100 years ago, it could be called a Wisma Cracker. They got weird names for things.
It was a fun episode. Definitely still in the lower end, but I still.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. Had some good moments.
Yeah.
I laughed a couple of times.
Season's just starting, so more to come. But let's get into this week's episode of What If.
God damn. Man, you know, this should have been a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not a live action one.
No.
It had to be done cartoon style. But they could have made a movie out of this and sold a billion tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, insane.
Yep. So, real quick, I also think this might be one of the biggest grouping of cast that they've gotten. Since Endgame. Because there was a total, looked it up at the end. 9 people with Sharon Carter, Bucky, of course.
They had the main Avengers cast.
Yeah, but most of them weren't their
own voices. Most of them didn't talk, yeah.
And they weren't their own voices. But I'm just saying, like, the actual bringing them in, they had, what's his name? The guy who plays Ant-Man and the girl who plays Wasp. They had both of them on there. They had Happy. He was in there. They had T'Challa and the chick... who plays his protector or whatever you want to call her. Who else did they have? They didn't have Spider-Man. And I thought it was weird because also Peter Parker didn't look like
Tom. Yeah, he did look different.
For all the other ones, except for the Star-Lord in T'Challa goes, it becomes Star-Lord episode, except for whatever his name is. When he's not Star-Lord, I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Most of the time, even when they're using a different voice actor, like for Black Widow in the last two episodes ago, Black Widow was a different voice actor, but they still used her likeness. And then same with like Captain America, they used his likeness and some of the other ones. But so yeah, I thought it was weird that even though you couldn't get Tom Holland for one reason or the other, I don't know why. But they also didn't make it look like Tom Holland.
That was weird.
But
you can do whatever. So this, for those that aren't watching What If, this is probably the big one.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know what else they're gonna do, but
I'm still, like I said, there is a whole, like I said, a little splash screen on the Disney Plus. They have Gamora with Thanos' sword, and it just looked like C's being there, you know. So I'm like,
that
sounds pretty good too.
So the big question is, do you think this is a two-parter? Because they ended with it very up in the air. Yeah. Nothing got resolved.
Yeah,
I mean, feel like the next episode is going to be like a part two.
It could be. That'd be interesting. What was I going to say? There it is. So one thing I've been noticing, and then they kind of walked it back, is each episode seemed to be getting more watcher involvement.
Yeah, because he was very much talky in this one, narrating the whole way.
Yeah. And so it just seems, I'm just wondering if like that's like part of the story, is like how the Watcher is suddenly like going to be more influential in the universe. Maybe.
I wonder if he's going to either get directly involved or be killed or something.
Yeah.
By like the end.
Yeah. I mean, one thing is the what if is basically like showing us, you know, if we're going with the main MCU storyline and all stuff from, you know, basically the end of Loki, you know, with the branching thing, what if it's showing what some of these other universes could be? And so I'm wondering, like, I don't know, I'm just wondering, like, if the Watcher's going to end up in the larger scope of things, like, even in the MCU at some point.
Yeah.
Because as the universes are kind of branching out and more things are being discovered. So zombies being able to use superpower.
Yeah, so, okay, so I was aware that there was a comic book of zombie Avengers, and it just never occurred to me that they would have abilities.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, oh, well, they're just going to be zombified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some of them are stronger than others. But I didn't think, like, oh, we're going to get a zombie Wanda that has all her god powers to eat people. Mm-hmm. Like, like I was not expecting that. Tiny zombie. Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Just like.
Well, so here's the thing. I got to say it. I mean, I'm not trying to insult the actual Avengers, but zombie Avengers are better
than the Avengers,
because the two guys, Thanos's vanguard, who show up. If you remember in the actual movie, they kicked Tony Stark's and Wong and Strange's ass, like, and they ended up running. Zombies took them out no problem. So I'm like, I don't know, zombie Avengers seem to be a little bit more skilled than the normal Avengers, because same two guys in our universe, or the main MCU universe, they kicked those three guys' ass. In the zombie universe, they didn't even stand a chance.
No. So, okay, if there's anything that I've learned from watching the MCU and secondary shows and stuff, anybody who's trying to create Pym particles needs to be murdered immediately.
Yeah, no.
Needs to be outlawed as hard as possible.
Like, if you read like the main comics, like, yeah, they're very, very much like, you're, no one should have them, and no one's allowed to use them.
Yeah, yeah, so basically the premise is this, is that when in Ant-Man and Wasp, when they go back to try and get Hank Pym's wife, she's infected with a zombie virus in the quantum realm and comes out. And then, you know, I was just thinking, like, okay, well, the whole reason that the Avengers get zombified is because Hank Pym as a zombie turns tiny and he's chomping on Captain America's neck like a gnat.
So
but then if you think about it in a grander scale, the only reason that like Endgame happens and through the transitive property, Loki happens, and the whole universe splits and shatters, is because Pym particles.
Yep.
Without Pym particles, none of that happens.
I have some questions, though. One is, as we saw, like, Hank Pym got Captain America. I still want to know, how did Iron Man get infected? He's in a fully enclosed metal suit.
He likes to take his helmet off a lot.
But once there's a zombie outbreak and stuff going on, it's like, I think you make some concessions that, like, hey, I'm not going to open this helmet at any point in your time. I mean, the fact that Hope until the very end does it, but Hope doesn't. He's also in a fully enclosed suit. You keep that closed, man. And another thing also is, I don't get actually how this zombie apocalypse is even still ongoing, because of one scene at the beginning of when Bruce gets saved. Hope shows up with a bunch of ants and they devour the zombies down to their bone. And I'm like, ants outnumber us in such huge magnitude.
Millions to one.
You could easily do that to all the zombies. So I'm like, yeah, is this zombie apocalypse still going? You control ants and just be like, eat all the zombies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then you're done. Like, I was just like,
yeah, there's definitely several scenes running, where I'm like,
and I'm just like, why are you running? Just summon a massive ant and just eat all the zombies.
Yeah, there's definitely several scenes where I'm like, where is your ant army you had?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I mean,
they had to get across the field and she turned into a giant. Like, no, that's a giant field. I guarantee there are millions of ants in the ground.
Probably flying ones with wings, because we know there's flying ants.
Yep.
It's like, why can't you just make a big flying ant and ants and have them carry them around? You know, maybe there's a limit to how much many Pym particles they have because, Hank Pym's gone.
They could have wrapped up the zombie apocalypse very easily with ants. It's one of the things that's truly a thing is like, if there ever was somehow where ants either got smart enough or just decided to start destroying all crops, like, they would easily wipe
off the face absolutely. Of the planet. Absolutely.
It sounds crazy, but we don't stand a chance if the ants ever decide that they want to take over somehow.
That's why Pym particles should be banned. Should be banned. Everybody stop it. There should be scans going on looking for Pym particles all the time.
Yeah.
I wish that Vision had more heads. Like, I wish that he had had Tony Stark head.
Yeah.
And like, you know, maybe some other really smart people or something. But I was not expecting him to be evil.
Yeah, no, that was...
I mean, he's not really evil, but he's kind of evil, you know?
I mean, he's evil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, fair enough.
People to your zombified girlfriend, which, I have to honestly say, I don't quite fully get how he would get there, because Vision is still artificial intelligence. He's Android. Yeah. He works off of logic. And he also is, you know, as we've seen in the movies and through even...
Yeah, but he's got emotions.
Yeah, I know. I know that. But he still works off of logic overall. And then the biggest thing is also he is morally, as you see through the movies and then also like with his different conundrums and even with the fact that he can pick up Thor's hammer, he is morally good. And so those two things, I just feel like there's no way... He may not be able to kill Wanda, but he wouldn't voluntarily feed people to her. He might just leave her to her own devices... And let it, which is still not the best thing to do, but I just can't see him getting people, because like, no, he can't kill Wanda. Sure, he wouldn't feed her.
Yeah,
he would just be like,
I mean, I don't know how you contain Wanda.
Yeah,
I don't know how she was contained in that cage.
Like, they don't explain that. Want to jump back though to the train scene, and the reason I want to bring it up is, did you realize they were redoing the same scene from from Endgame?
No.
With the way that the Avengers show up like Hawk, because basically the same thing, it's Wanda and what's his name? We just a Vision. There we go.
There you go. Yeah.
But as strange as it, but then it's freaking Captain America and Falcon who show up, and they even do the same thing like while they're fighting. There's a scene in Endgame where when the Falcon shows up, like you see his outline real quickly in a shadow, and then he like ducks down, and they do that exact same scene. I just like that they did the same, like they're in a train station, they did the same scene, except this time there's zombies, and it's a lot like, instead of being like, oh good, you're here, it's like, oh crap. Yeah. And also, I want to know how happy, like, once again, I'm not trying to be critical of this dude, but I always say it, he has no powers. And all this stuff, and I get he's an archer, but he definitely had to bite Happy to become a Viper. How did Happy not kill Hawkeye with? He had Iron Man's energy on him, and I'm just like, how? How?
I'd love to have me an Iron Man glove.
Yeah, a little,
you know, that'd be cool.
Who wouldn't want a little Iron Man glove?
I'd wear it all the time. but I really hope that we get a part two, because it ends showing zombified Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet, missing one stone that the good guys have, and they're taking somewhere to try and save. They're
taking it to Wakanda.
Save the world, yeah.
And they're saying, well, the thing that they also, that the Watcher says, is he says that humans will do anything to save their world, even if it will doom the universe. Mm. And what I kind of feel like he's saying is like, if they go to Wakanda and cure the zombieism, which apparently you can do, and reverse it, then that's going to also reverse Thanos, who's going to go back to being
the Mad Titan. Gotcha.
And then also, they're way, way outclassed now. I mean, they already were outclassed the first time he showed up in our universe and stuff. And now, like, all the Avengers who really stood... Interestingly enough, and I guess you could say... I mean, I guess he was in space, that's why. Is there was no Thor in this episode. But also got to walk back to Hope and her turn giant and walk everybody across the field.
Yeah.
okay, fine. Let's like say we can't summon ants or anything. Let's say that's the only option. My dying thing, if I was Hope, and I just got my allies to the thing, but the last thing I'd do as I died is I would shrink down, because as we saw, nobody needs a six-story zombie running around. I was just like, when Hope didn't shrink down, like, oh, that's not going to turn out bad at all. I was just like, six-story zombie? I was like, why are you still big? I might even shrink down to my smallest size, so I'm just a tiny little... Well, no,
that's dangerous. That's
so
dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd shrink down to normal size, but I'm just like, I just was like...
Well, they seem to have some sort of agency, so it seems like zombified could still turn big.
Yeah,
it just we just didn't see that really happen.
Yeah.
I love
that
she threw the zombie wasp throws, like giant one, throws mm-hmm. this other zombie at the Quinjet. Which is really like the quadcopter, which like that, I'm like, call it a Quinjet. And we just need to call it a Quinjet.
So... I wanted to go to, though, like you said, we already touched on this, but, and you brought it up, the thing is that, my thing is that, is also this, is like I said, the zombies have agency. They can use all their powers. So I'm like, zombie Thanos is a major threat.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because he's got five stones.
He has five stones, and the thing, like, I mean, Thanos as a whole is a threat, but I'm like, zombie Thanos has no inhibitions, no nothing, and he just wants to feed, and he's like, I'm just like, that's...
Yeah,
that's intense. Like I was like, just like zombie Avengers seem to be better than
or a zombie Avengers. Sorcerer Supreme, or
I feel like zombie Thanos is that's something to be concerned about. I mean, honestly, maybe you might want to cure.
See, I need zombie Thanos versus zombie Wanda.
I think current Wanda. And this is
like the post WandaVision Wanda.
Yeah. I think post WandaVision Wanda could take Thanos.
Oh yeah, without even like in a blink of the eye. Yeah,
see, he's getting to that level where I'm like, I think even with Infinity Gauntlets, he could handle him. But you know, we'll never get to see that fight. We did get to see Wanda versus Hulk, which I was like, Hulk's gonna lose.
Yeah, we didn't get to see Zombie Hulk. That would have been pretty good too. Though I wonder if the Hulk, because he gets bit. Technically, and I'm wondering if like maybe the Hulk is not zombified, but maybe Bruce Banner is.
Well, so that's the thing is when he gets bit, Bruce's arm turns into the Hulk arm, and the zombie branches off. And that's one thing they've said this in the comics, because like the Hulk is nigh impenetrable. So that's where I'm like, I don't know if we would I think Wanda would defeat the Hulk, and if he turned back into Bruce, he'd be a zombie, and they might be able to turn into Zombie Hulk. But I don't think they could turn Hulk into a zombie. Like, I think they could, like, you know, want to kill him, but I don't think zombies could bite.
No, like, he's immune.
Yeah, and then he also has, I mean, the other thing is the Hulk, on the same level as Wolverine, has that kind of healing factor. So
his healing factor from the comic books is way above Wolverine.
No, they've both done some feats that were ludicrously stupid that they regenerated from.
Yeah.
We're just like, No, you cannot regenerate from one skin cell in the bathroom tile. Like, sure, I can. Just like bull crap.
And still have all your memories and everything. Anyway, best episode of What If. Mm-hmm. I really hope that we get a second part, or so that way we can get a resolution to wherever they were going with that. Great comedy, great twist.
Yeah, good just, fight scenes.
Yeah, like amazingly
I like
animated.
The, Bucky versus Captain America in the back.
And he takes the shield.
Yeah, I gotta say though, actually, and I've already we talked about this during Falcon and Winter Soldier. We talked about this. I still will never understand the weird Bucky Falcon animosity.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, they got over it in the Falcon Winter Soldier, but I never understood where that came from. I never felt natural. And the fact that it was still there in this, where he's like, I should be sad, but I'm not. I'm just like, I don't get why they ever.
It was forced.
Weird.
Yeah. It was forced. It
never seemed right. Anyways, that is What If. Fantastic episode. If you haven't watched it yet, why you listen to this podcast about it?
And again, if you checked out the first episode and thought it was dumb, then definitely check out the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much like a Twilight Zone in that there's good episodes and there's bad episodes, but
and I gotta say,
they're all disconnected from each other.
Other than the first one, which, I mean, there's still some merit, but overall, like I said, it wasn't the best. All of them have been, the rest of them have been great.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed all
absolutely.
Of them. Doctor Strange one was pretty good.
Doctor Strange one was really good.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to take another short break, and we will be back after this commercial.
Hello, everybody. This is Eric Donaldson, the host of the illustrious Hard Mark podcast, a comedy show where I introduce one professional wrestling match per episode to my co-host, who has never watched wrestling before. For pro wrestling enthusiasts, you can relive famous and infamous moments from the past through the lens of a non-fan. And for anyone unfamiliar with the surreal world of pro grappling, enjoy the window into the strange but lovable mind of my co-host Ryan as he unintentionally destroys my childhood while also debating proper face washing technique, fear of raccoons, getting hit by cars, and plenty of other ridiculous topics outside of wrestling. So check out the Hard Mark Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows, and follow us on Instagram at Hard Mark Podcast to keep up with news, clips, and shenanigans too. Thanks, everybody.
And welcome back.
Stargirl Episode 5.
Stargirl Episode 5.
I really feel like the last couple episodes is really just moving it forward. There was some action in this, but I don't know. It didn't really get me quite as far as I wanted it to.
Yeah, yeah.
Next episode seems like it's going to have a lot going on.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely one where it seems like they're just trying to get all the pieces in place, I guess. I mean, we had Cindy and Cameron both coming back, and so kind of getting their characters established, and then Cindy getting her, at least getting her crew together to some degree.
I mean, we got some backstory on her too.
Yeah,
which was nice.
We got to see. I mean, we kind of knew. I guess we didn't know exactly like how her and her mom were, but it looks like that they had. You know, like you said, that her father blames her for killing her mom, but it's very clear that her father or that they had been running from him. So yeah. We don't know the circumstance. Like I said, her mom's obviously alive at that point, and we don't know what happens in between, you know, him recapturing them is what it looks like, and, you know, the current day Cindy, and how, if she really did end up killing her mom, or if it's more of a, you know, thing of her father putting the blame on her because of something that happened. But, we did get to see that, they were clearly on the outs with their dad, which is also actually quite interesting how much the, how much in the first season before, you know, at the end and being in prison for him by himself, she valued, like, she wanted his respect and how much she, like, looked towards him. Like, it's interesting that she was like that from seeing this opening where she, like I said, he was very much scared of him and wanted nothing to do with him, so.
Yeah, you gotta love the Dragon King, though. Mm-hmm. I really do hope he comes back and we get more of him.
I mean, we really need to. I mean, honestly, and we got to see some more of him, but, like, I don't want to put down Icicle, but Brainwave and Dragon King, both of those were are way more enticing villains than Icicle was.
I think just Icicle's thing was that he had the vision.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, I feel like those two being lackeys to Icicle, in a sense, was such a waste of what we could have done with those villains. Like, honestly, I feel like Dr. Iaido / Dragon King could have been the main villain of his own arc, of his own season.
Absolutely.
You know? And maybe even Brainwave to some degree. Yeah. So I just feel like that's a waste to be like, these are background characters to Icicle. Oh, am I really to that guy? Like, it's just like...
I think the Dragon King's definitely going to come back. I could see maybe Brainwave coming back in some form. Like some
mental form.
Yeah, there's some mental imprint on Yolanda. they've had this ongoing gag throughout the last season and this one where Pat keeps sneaking up on, like,
I wrote it down, like, good old Pat's classic waiting in the room in the dark. Yeah. And I'm just like, once again, I was like, how long were you sitting there, Pat? How long were you sitting there?
he should just lock all the windows from the inside so she can't get back in. I love the awesome ice grandmother.
Yeah.
And it showed that she has ice powers as well.
So I got to go back, though. And I love that Courtney actually points it out, too, is when they're talking about, you know, their next steps. And Pat's like, well, I got it. It's the weather. And he's like, okay, how does that help us? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, Pat, that's really dumb. Like, okay, it's raining everywhere. Cool. How's that going to tell you where Eclipse was? Like I said, once he developed it more, but when he just goes like, we got to use the weather. I'm like, okay, you got to come with more than that, Pat. Like,
well, immediately my thought was, okay, just find the center of the weather.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Which they later did do, you know, with the help of Midnight.
so, So we have, like I said, we got to see Ice Grandmother. So I guess just the ice powers run in all of his family. I mean, we don't know if Grandpa or Grandpa might just be married into the ice powers. But, I mean, we got Grandma, we got his dad, and we got to see at the end of this episode that Cameron is now developing his.
Yep.
But also, Cameron's doing his painting. And, I mean, one is it was clearly going to rain. And the fact that he's like, I'm going to go paint. I was like, no, you're not. Why did you even head out there?
Yeah, and then he goes to the school, and he's like, oh, I thought I might use the school's studio. I'm like, what do you, to mix paints or something? Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
And that's when I wrote that down, because, like, that's something I've seen not just in this, but, like, plenty of times where, like, there'll be someone, like, painting a mural, and they're like, oh, I can't today. I'll go to the studio. I'm like, and do what? Like, your canvas is out there. I mean, like I said, we're not artists. Maybe there's something to, like, oh, you can do, like, small parts and paste them up. I don't know. So if you are an artist and you have any idea what you could do in the studio when you're painting a big mural somewhere, go ahead and send that to us too. Because I've always been confounded whenever that happens in a show or TV or a movie. I'm just like, what's going on?
Yeah. I don't understand. Everybody's like, don't team up with the Shade. I'm like, you should be teaming up with the Shade.
Yeah.
You should be asking him, hey, what's your plan? Can we work together on this? The Shade did
kind of make it clear he isn't looking to team up with Theb, though.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering, like, the Shade is playing this very much like, oh, I don't care about anybody.
And all we still don't know what his real motivation is.
But also, like, and once again, like I said, he may be a good guy, may not. But I'm, and maybe it's just the optimistic in me. I feel like the Shade is a good guy or is trying to do the right thing, but doesn't want to admit it to people. Because, like, one of the things he says when he's talking to the mom, who I said they can't remember her name, but when he's talking to her, Barbara, there you go. He says your kids are way too young to be messing with this sort of thing, which is a very true statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the next thing she says is like, why do you care? And she's like, oh, I don't. I was like, you kind of do, though, if you're worried about, like, the kids shouldn't be doing this sort of thing. And, like, he's had a few other times where he kind of said something where it sounds like he would care, but then he immediately walks it back.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the Shade is kind of playing it like, I'm a bad dude. Okay, I don't do stuff for the good of mankind. Where I think in the back, like, maybe he's trying to redeem himself a little bit.
I don't know. He's an interesting character. Yeah. He's a great character.
I really like the actor. We don't know where he's at. And him being in there is just really good. Back to the school real quick. One is we get to see that Courtney's still interested in Cameron. And
yeah,
I just have to say, how can she not see that that's a terrible idea?
Yeah, like, it's like, hey, just so you know, I helped kill your dad that you're painting a mural of.
Even best case scenario is that they fall deeply in love and they grow together and stuff. Well, one day, if you truly love someone, the guilt of knowing you killed their father is going to weigh on you until eventually you're going to have to tell them, hey, I helped kill your dad, and my son, my brother ran him over with our truck. Like, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And, like, worst case scenario, it's going to come out a lot earlier, and he's going to go full supervillain on you. So I'm just like, stop it. Stop it, Courtney. I'm just
that's like Slipstream, right? Mm-hmm. Go back and watch our previous episode on the fantastic movie Slipstream.
Go back and watch our previous episode.
Oh, listen to it. Sorry. Look, it's an easy mistake, Donnell. Mm-hmm. But no, it's like at the end of the movie, the two characters get together, and I'm like, okay, at what point does it go like, hey, let's go back and see my family? And she's like, yeah, I slaughtered all them.
Yeah.
I killed your entire family and your extended family and the children too. And the
children too, yeah. And then also, Cindy has psychic powers, apparently, because...
Well, I mean, she's got psychic powers through Eclipso, right?
Maybe, because my big thing was, how did Cindy know Cameron was going to be in the studio? Like, Cameron didn't even know he's going to be in the studio that day. He was laid out to paint for his dad, and for all you know, if it started raining, Cameron might have just called it a day and went home. And so I'm just like, why was Cindy in the studio? How did she know?
Well, I don't think she was. I don't think she knew he was going to be there.
Then why was he there?
To infect the teacher.
I don't think she wanted to infect the teacher. I think that was just like kind of happenstance sort of thing.
Oh, you think so? I thought that was like the goal. Like,
no, it kind of seemed like he was... She was there for Cameron because he's trying to recruit Cameron and stuff. And I feel like it was just the teacher annoyed her. And so she was like... And I don't think he even thinks he really fully... I think that was more of Eclipso acting on his own. I don't think she fully even meant...
Interesting.
I think teacher ignored her. And then Eclipso just took that as, I'm just going to...
Yeah. I like this teacher guy.
I do, but also, like, his scene with Cameron. where they bump into each other in the hall,
yeah.
and he picks up Cameron's book, and he just starts going there. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's a bit much.
Like, hold up, like, personal property. Like, what do you know what the hell I have in there? But, I mean,
he's an art teacher. He sees a sketchbook. He's got to look through it.
He ultimately is a pretty good character. I mean, he even gives some very good advice to Cameron.
He's a good, caring teacher.
Yeah.
And I liked his shirt a lot. If I could find that shirt, I'd wear that shirt.
No, yeah, you would.
but Eclipso messes him up a lot.
Oh, a whole lot. So once again, and I mean, this is jumping towards the end, but I was just like, I know, and I guess, like I said, we haven't seen next week's episode yet. But one thing I think about is like, the art room destroyed.
Yeah.
They show afterwards that the hallway wasn't as messed up as they were seeing.
Well, they banged up some lockers.
I know,
for
but
sure.
That's what I'm saying is, but ultimately, like, yeah, they Rick destroyed some lockers, Yolanda ripped through some lockers, and then Beth cried. So whatever. And then the teacher also is in a psych ward. How much you want to bet? Just like everything else in this town, terrible stuff happens.
Yeah, who's gonna run summer school?
Yeah,
if that teacher's in a psych ward,
glosses it over. Like, nope, everybody's happy again. I'm just like. No.
Summer school is canceled.
It's like giant green explosion in the middle of town square. Freaking stop signs raining from the sky all over the town. And now school destroyed and teacher in psych ward. But I guarantee in next week's episode, the town's just going to be like, we're all good.
Yeah. By the way,
they're always perfect.
I would buy all those stop signs for $5. That seems pretty cheap. Because I thought that was funny that they threw that in there. So they go to Zeke's and he's got a thing at the entrance that's like all the stop signs that Thunderbolt put in there, put on the street, and he's selling them for $5 a piece. I'm like, I could wreak havoc like no one could imagine if I had a handful of stop signs. I could destroy traffic in an entire city.
You could mess up. What was I going to say?
Oh, can we?
So we got the. We finally got our return of Zeke. Unfortunately, he wasn't building anything cool for Stripe. He was just trying to sell a car to Mike.
Yeah, that was weird.
I feel like this is the first. And then once again, it's just like a quick scene, though. But like, and it's obvious that they want to keep Mike on the outside because they're trying to build a storyline where maybe Cindy's going to tempt him to be the vet with the bad guys. But still, like, it's been two episodes since Thunderbolt told him, like, hey, Mike feels alone and feels left out.
Yeah.
And it's been two episodes. And also, Mike also got kidnapped last episode at one point. And they're just now finally addressing Mike. I'm just like, you are terrible parents. Your son.
Yeah.
You've had to.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of redemption at the end of the conversation where he's like, we'll find you a project.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah,
don't. See if that plays out.
Like, this is how villains are made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we talk about Thunderbolt? Can we go off script for a minute?
Yeah.
I had a nightmare.
Do we have a script? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about episode 5, and Thunderbolt was not in this. But I had a nightmare about that.
About Thunderbolt?
That I was Johnny Thunder. You know, I mean, not really the Johnny Thunder, but I was me.
Yeah.
But I had Thunderbolt, and it was like the nightmare of trying to not say I wish for something and like wish it away, or like, how do I figure out how to do this? Meanwhile, I'm destroying the planet. And so I'm like, you know, the flashback with Johnny Thunder, I'm like, that man would just be a mess.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Like, you know what I would do if I had that? I would get something that sealed my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
That I would have to unlock something to say anything. I would just be so terrified. I would accidentally say, I wish.
That.
You know, I wish that person was dead.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, I'd, you know.
But you know, you'd be safe from that one. Remember, you can't.
Oh, you can't kill somebody.
Yeah, so,
but I can cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, I'm not saying you wouldn't. I'm just saying if that escaped your mouth, you wouldn't have to worry about
it.
That's one nice thing is you don't have to worry about accidentally killing anybody.
But it was just, in my dream, it was just so stressful trying to figure out how to manage this power.
Yeah, like, one thing I wrote down, and he's been doing this too much, is Rick is terrible at being like a normal person with a secret identity or super identity. Because like, even though he didn't directly interact with Cameron, The fact that he just pulls up and is just glaring him down, I'm like,
yeah,
dude, stop it. There's a time when his teacher is
dude. Why is he hating on him? What has he done? What has exactly. What has Cameron done? Nothing.
His father, you know. I mean, he's like his father, so Cameron's gonna be like his father. But like I said, but yeah. So there's that, and then what is it? And then like, and there was earlier on with his teacher where she's like, or when she was holding him back, and he's like, I saved all. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, do you not know that being a hero means you don't get to talk about this stuff? You gotta keep it locked down. Like, you can't just be like out there all the time with it. Which, speaking of which, I guess Zeke is fully in the know now, because when they're talking in the junkyard and Mike's like, I'm buying it for the team as a getaway car, I'm like, Zeke is literally like just off camera over here, because 2 seconds later they pan out and they're like, hey Zeke, can we have a more private conversation? So I'm just like, so we're just,
we need more Zeke, by the way. We're not getting enough Zeke.
There's definitely not enough Zeke going on.
Okay, so was Barbara a hero at some point and she just hasn't said anything? Or is she a member of the Shades family?
Oh, I don't think either. I think it's just she reminds him of someone in his family just because of her like assertiveness.
And he's old. Confident. He's very old.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of years or something.
Right.
And I'm like, it's a possibility that she could be a descendant of his.
I mean, I guess.
I don't know. It was just an odd conversation they had.
Really take it as that. I just really thought it was like how, you know, if I had a family member who, you know, smoked all the time and watched 25 movies in a week, I'd be like, man, Robert, you remind me of my Uncle Steve. It's not that you are my Uncle Steve or you're related to me. It's just like, no, you and Steve do a lot of the same
stuff. Yeah, but if you were a shadow monster that came to see me, I would take context, subtext in everything that you said.
You know? Yeah. So we get Courtney's second time of being blatantly like not obvious of like shouldn't be around Cameron. And my thing that I just took from that is he's talking to Yolanda, and Yolanda starts to object, and then she gives two reasons or excuses of why it's okay, and like neither one of them are anything of what Yolanda is objecting to, because Yolanda's objecting to is Cameron's the son of the guy you killed.
Yeah,
there's no way this can work out. And her first thing is he goes back to Pat's thing about how you need to have a work-life balance. I'm like, that has nothing to do with this. And then the second thing is she's like, when Yolanda's like, yeah, but she's like, well, if something happens, you can text me. He's like, Yolanda's not worried about something happening out there. She's worried about something happening between you two.
Yeah.
Like, she just gives both her reasons. I was like, No, that's not what Yolanda's not concerned about either of those things for me. And then the other thing, though, is once he goes off with Cameron, one is, I wrote this down, is just for anybody out there, just so you all know, if you're young and stuff, if you are drawing pictures of a girl.
Yeah, super creepy.
Yeah, I'm about to say, in the movie and stuff, the only time it's ever reciprocated, that's the same as writing poems and songs, is if that person already likes you.
Yeah.
But if they don't, you are going to be creepy as all hell.
Yeah.
So just because you saw Cameron and it worked for him, don't do it.
And she's like, Courtney's like, these are really good. And I'm like, they're not that good.
Yeah. And well, the other thing is also,
they're not
like,
great.
You know, if you know, and I'm a guy, but still, even if I was a girl, like if someone came to me and they opened up the doodle book and they showed me a picture of me they had drawn and stuff, and that was it, like there was not 25 of them, I'd be like, a little weird, but I might be like, okay, that's kind of cool. But the fact that he has so many, that's what's like, no,
he has like three per page.
This is creepy stalker territory.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you had a picture, like, yeah, I draw a lot of people. Like, here's you, here's Bill. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But when you're like, no, here's 27 pages of you, I'm like, whoa. It's time for me to be like, I need to get a restraining order. But anyways, Courtney's has swept off her feet, but then she gets... She gets
the call.
And the thing that I thought was weird is Cameron says, you always leave, or you did this to me before. And I'm like, what other plans do they have? And the only plans I can think about is they're going to go to the homecoming dance together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, she didn't truly, but the excuse of why she didn't and she did have injuries was she was in a car accident. She's like, are you holding against her that she got hit by, I mean, she didn't, but as far as you know, she got hit by a car, so she couldn't go to that dance with you? Because I'm like, that's really shitty to be like, yeah, you always leave. Like, I got hit by a fucking car last time.
You know, look, and if there's somebody, anybody, doesn't even have to be anybody I care about, but I'm talking to them and they go, they get a text, and you hear the beep, and then they look at it and say, "I gotta go."
Especially and if their phone starts, explodes,
and then it starts beeping like over and over and over and over and over again. I'd be like, "Well, you got some shit to deal with."
Yeah, you should be like, "Is this man? This seems serious."
Yeah, like they're just hanging.
Yeah,
they're not on a date. They're just hanging out.
Yeah,
you know, like. Like she just happened to wander by him. She had plans. She was in process mm-hmm. of going somewhere.
Yeah,
All right. So we got Beth's parents finally admitted that they're getting a divorce, or they're thinking about getting a divorce. Scene. Well, I don't know. I'm jumping around.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah, just go ahead and jump to that because I gotta say
That's all there is to say is that just note that Beth now everything's out in the open about the divorce situation.
But the other thing I have to say is like. For the parents to be like, Beth is like, "Hey, I know there's a divorce and like, what's going on?" And they're both just like, "Let's talk about it later." And like, mom is like, "Oh, I got to go to the office." And I'm like, I'm pretty sure even doctors have sick days.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is something as a family, like, no, it's your daughter just came to you and confronted you about like, "I know you're getting divorced," and you guys are both like, "Hey, talk about it later. See you later." I'm just like, yeah. Like part of me almost feels like they're setting it up for something to happen to her parents.
Yeah.
So they never get to actually have that.
Good. If something should happen to her parents because the first thing they do, the same thing that they do in every movie is like, just so you know, like this doesn't mean that we love you any less. I'm like, you don't love her at all.
That's what I
see
too.
How you treat her. You don't give a shit.
Well, but that's the thing is, so they don't love her any less either.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Fair
if
enough.
You love somebody at zero, you can't go any less. So back at the school, and I just wrote this down is like, so we know it's been like 6+ months since they defeated the ISA. Right?
Yeah.
Why have they not been training in a lot of different things?
Why didn't they make Beth a better costume fits better?
Yeah, and Beth has like I get like she's not going to be like all of a sudden a martial artist, but like Beth has no combat skills. Yep. I feel like in the time if they're really going to be doing this hero thing, I don't know what Dr. Midnight did himself. I'm assuming he could do more than just use goggles, but like
some extra gadgets or something.
In the scene, Beth literally gets splattered with goggles or paint on her goggles, and I'm like, she is out of commission. She just went from hero to normal bystander because some paint got on her goggles. That should not be a thing.
Even when Hawkeye runs out of arrows, he can turn his bow into a weapon.
Yeah, staff. Yeah. And then also, like, I think for Rick, while he does have strength and he does need to learn how to fight better, but still, the other thing is, like, Rick needs some damn classes on how to freaking keep a secret identity.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, what you guys been doing for the last 6 months?
Yeah, that's what their summer school should be.
Exactly. I'm just like, ugh.
All right. I wanna go on a tangent for a second.
Okay. Here
comes there was a problem with this show, and it is not specific to this. Well, to this episode, but it's not specific to this episode. It's an epidemic in movies and TV shows alike.
All right.
Across all time.
Okay.
Stop using fucking 555 in the goddamn phone numbers. There are other options. Okay.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Because be 555. And you know what? Because this is just lazy. Because you know what I immediately did? As I went to TV Tropes, and they've got a whole page on 555. There are thousands of numbers that you could use that would never go anywhere that do not have 555 in it. And I'm just like, that's just lazy writing.
It's just lazy writing.
Yeah.
You should write a very stern
letter to somebody, Robert. I should. It was very upsetting. I feel like it shatters the illusion, you know, because as soon as I was like, oh, they're about to show a phone number. I was going to have 555 in it.
Yeah.
And then it was 555. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, why wouldn't you? I mean, I get maybe not episode 5 of Stargirl season 2, you know, like, you know, you don't need to put some number. But if you were like, if I was doing like a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's say I was doing The Matrix 4 and I was going to have a number show up on screen. I would go and register a phone number and for like a year or two, have that go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, to like somewhere where you could sell something or be like, maybe like some sort of puzzle or, you know, something, you know, some Easter egg or
get
something.
People,
you know, have
definitely
like
get some hype. About
have like Keanu Reeves voice saying like some mysterious cryptic thing or something like that. Like, I'm just saying, stop using 555. We're done. We're past it. anyway,
this has
that's
been
my
Robert Shipbox.
That's my tangent. Yeah. For those that don't know, I've worked in telecom a long time.
Yes.
And
yes,
phone numbers are important to me.
So, last thing I have is this whole fight at the school. It starts with them saying they're showing up, and they're like, "Where's Pat?" And like, "Oh, he's working on something. He'll be here. He's working on something with Mike." Now, while I have been a very huge proponent of Pat, like, he needs to be more aware of
his son. Yeah, and they didn't explain what he was working on.
Yeah, they don't explain. He needs to be more with his son. I think this is literally, you have, as and Pat and Barbara have made it very clear that Eclipso is some next level dangerous stuff which won't tell Courtney about.
And I find it odd that they haven't told the audience yet.
Yeah.
What this mysterious thing is. This horrifying thing.
It's going to be a betrayal to Courtney when she finds out that her parents are lying to her. But no, here's my thing, though. So anyways, Robert. Evil Big Bad, who may be at the center of the storm, and your superhero kids, who don't know about all the things, are going to it. I'm like, I know, like I've been saying, you need to take some time for Mike. This is not the time.
Yeah.
Why was he not there? Why'd be like, oh, yeah, go ahead, I'll catch up, guys. Like, go ahead to meet Eclipso? Like, Eclipso could literally be at this point, and you're just like, yeah, I'll catch up. Why was Pat not there? Once again, he does need to do better with Mike, but you gotta have some freaking...
Yeah, you know what? You know what you do? You satiate him, and you just be like, hey, here's the robot's manual. Read it. It's 5,000 pages.
Yeah.
Of how this thing
and
works.
Once you read it all, you can. Well, yeah. Once you start piloting,
he'll never get through the book.
Yeah.
Mike's lazy. Mm-hmm. I don't see Mike reading a 5,000-page book.
He's not doing that. I mean, he might with the enticement of being able to pilot a robot. I don't know. But this episode was.
It was decent.
You know, got some interesting scenes.
Got some cool fights. Got some weird painting stuff going on, and
got the teacher vomiting up paint, which was weird.
Let's talk about this. So the Shade's like, oh, these kids can't handle the dark, can't handle looking within. Mm-hmm. And then they go, and then Eclipso gets in their heads.
Yeah.
And I'm like, outside of Yolanda, that's kind of weak sauce.
Yeah.
You know, as far as
also, why, I mean, I know because he's the main character, but they didn't give any justification of like why Courtney wasn't affected.
Yeah.
Like, even if it would have been like, she got affected, and then she like grabbed the staff.
Yeah, like she doesn't have any baggage.
And that's what exactly it is. Like, she got plenty of baggage. See,
yeah.
I mean, there's a whole thing of thinking she's not really worthy of being Stargirl because she's not Stargirl's daughter. And that's our Starman's daughter and that stuff. There's plenty of things you could poke at her with for. So the fact that it's just like, nope, she's fine, that bugged me. Like, I if you give me a reason, like I said, if like maybe she grabbed the staff and it like glowed brighter. And so, like, someone, like, it was warding it off or something. But, like, it was just nothing. It was just, like, no, Courtney's just not affected. And I was just like, but why?
Yeah. I feel like outside of Yolanda, like, you know, they're not getting taken down. But, like Beth's, like,
well,
her whole thing is, like, her parents are getting divorced. I'm like, deal with it, yo.
I was going to say, Rick's thing is kind of interesting because it's not even about his parents being dead. It's about him wondering if he's the monster or Grundy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He didn't kill Grundy. Exactly. He knows he's not the monster.
But my thing
if
is
he
this,
had killed Grundy, I would understand.
My thing is this. Honestly, I do think Beth's thing is enough to take her down. Because remember Beth from the first season. Yes, he has grown quite a bit. But Beth is very much wrapped up in her parents.
She isn't anymore. She's found friends. I feel like she's moved past
it's
that.
It's still something that's probably very much built into her, I think. I mean, I think this divorce...
I want to know what Beth's doing all day. Everybody else is at summer school.
Yeah. Well, Rick's not. He's skipping summer school.
Well, we know what he's doing. He's taking Chicken into the woods.
I actually don't think he's even in
He's got a quote dog. Anymore. Like,
yeah, because I think after he passed that test, it seems like he's not having to be there. Like, the teacher doesn't seem to be like, why is Rick not here? So,
yeah.
I think Beth is just sitting around with the goggles trying to get a hold of Dr. Midnight. That's what it seems. Every time we do see her doing something, you know, it's trying to talk to Dr. Midnight.
Oh, that's right. She's, working on Midnight's goggles. Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I don't know how he has a cell phone in that shadow realm. Anyway, I'm excited for the next episode.
Yeah.
I'm excited to continue watching the season. All pretty decent episodes this week. What If, a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us, folks. You can find us on our website, watchingitpod.com. You can email us, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram @watchingitpodcast. Donnell, where else can they find us?
You can hit us at WatchingItPod on Twitter. And heads up for everybody, in case you want to watch the show, because we're definitely going to talk about it. It may or may not be joining our standard docket, but Why the Last Man comes out this week. We are definitely at least going to talk about the first episode and our thoughts on it. And like I said, it may become a regular part.
I've been reading the comic book, and it is much more interesting than I expected.
Yeah, yeah. I've read a little bit up about, not the actual comic, but just different like things about it and stuff. And it seemed very good. So yeah, if you want to check that out, I believe that's out on the 13th on FX on Hulu or Quarantine.
Not that we advise you to do torrenting.
I don't know.
We're just saying it's out there.
It's there, you know.
If you live in a country where that sort of thing's allowed.
Exactly. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening, and have a good one. Bye.